Let's, I guess we may as well, let's just start with the whole Paul Ryan situation. Obviously, he met with your party yesterday, and basically give us your thoughts from that meeting.
Well, Paul got up and said that he was that he really likes the position he's in as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and talked about the aspirational agenda that the committee has and the things they'd like to do, particularly if we could get a Republican in the White House. He did say that he would serve as speaker, but that there were five requests he made of the conference, and we can go through those if that'd be interesting for you or not. But he laid those five requests out, and he said, and if we as the conference respond affirmatively to all five of those requests, that he will go home this weekend, discuss this with his family, and then let us know early next week if he's running, if he's going to be in the race for the speaker or not.
Well, if we're not going too far in the weeds, yeah, can you kind of give us an overview of what those five stepping stones are?
The first one is that we as a conference should respect that he puts his family first. And then I think that makes sense. The second thing is that we ought to go on offense with a bold agenda, and that we should build it together, and that we should all look for the solution that may not be perfect, but gets us most of the way where we want to go. The third one was we need to unify now, not later, and that every one of us should be invested in unifying the conference, and that there, particularly the three large subgroups in Congress, should endorse him. That would include the Tuesday group, Republican Study Committee, which I chair, and then also the Freedom Caucus. The fourth thing is that he is fine with rewriting the rules. He wants us to rewrite the rules, but he wants us to work as a team to do it, not to have the speaker be forced to capitulate to the demands of any particular group on the rewrite of the rules. And he wants to return to regular order as part of that rules package. Those things all make sense. And then the fifth one is that there is this rule related to what's called the motion to vacate the chair. And he wants to change the rules on that so that if it's going to be used, that it can't be used for frivolous activities such as the way Mark Meadows did it right now. There's still a motion to vacate the chair that was filed by Mark Meadows of North Carolina, which has really put the House conference into disarray. And if we're going to have that rule, then that rule needs to be changed so it can't be used frivolously.
Well, your chairman of the Republican Study Committee, is your group going to be okay with those five principles?
I believe that we will, yes. Now, what we're going to do today at our normal weekly luncheon is I will put on the table for our membership to consider endorsing Paul Ryan, and then we as a group will determine whether or not we subscribe to these five things and whether or not we endorse him. If we do, then I'll report back to Paul. What our group thinks. We're the largest caucus in Congress, 170-plus members, and so I'll report back.
So with that in mind, and I guess the Freedom Caucus is about 40 or so now. So if
that's
you,
around 30,
is it okay?
Three or so.
All right, so if you take the lead in that, do you think the others will follow, or are they still going to be discontented with that situation? Your thought.
It's hard for me to know. About three-quarters of the Freedom Caucus members are also members of the Republican Study Committee, so it's hard for me to know. When you look at the membership of the Freedom Caucus, I mean, there are a number of them that I think would probably be a hardcore no for Paul no matter what. But I think the majority of them, a slight majority of them, is willing to give him a chance. But it's hard enough. They'll have to decide what they're going to do.
Well, finally, before we leave this, because we do need to move on to other stuff, we discussed this morning with his personality, he's not one to go out and whip a vote to try to get the votes together. It sounds like he's not fighting for the job. Is that accurate?
I think that's really inaccurate, and there is no better whipper for votes than Paul Ryan. I mean, for instance, one of the things we're going to have on the floor this week is reconciliation to deal with Obamacare. I don't think that this reconciliation package goes far enough, and I have gotten and had several conversations with Paul about this. But he is very good at what he does in terms of influencing people, influencing outcomes, and influencing their votes. And he uses a rational reasonable approach to doing it. So, and I think that's the way he looks at the speakership, is that if he's going to be speaker, he wants us to be successful on behalf of the American people. He cares about results. See, one of the reasons we're having all the fights in Congress today, in the House, among ourselves, is over process. Well, you know, for the moms and dads in the Brazos Valley that are taking their kids to school right now, they don't care about process and Congress. They care about the results. And so the results have slowed to a trickle for hardworking American families because up here everybody's gotten all balled up in process. And so those are things that we need to keep balanced in the way we look at Paul running for speaker.
Okay, well, I said that was the last thing we would, and one of the other things that Kevin mentioned this morning, a cautionary note, when Harry Reid said Paul Ryan's the kind of guy I want to work with, that kind of scares people.
Well, Harry Reid is sort of the mafia enforcer for the Senate Democrats, and I wonder if he didn't do that to try to hurt Paul's chance to be speaker. I take everything that Harry says with a grain of salt because he is just a 110% political animal. I don't know that. First of all, I don't think it helped Paul to say that. But secondly, I don't know that he did it sincerely. I think he did it probably to try to hurt Paul.
Okay. Now the business of the Congress, obviously the debt ceiling. This thing's got to get settled. You got to get the work done.
That's correct. We really only have 2 weeks to do it. When Secretary of Treasury Liu came out a few days ago and moved the debt ceiling date up from November the 5th to the November the 3rd, he essentially wiped out a legislative week for the Senate. It doesn't affect the House as much because we operate pretty quickly. But so that put us down to 2 weeks. What I have been worried about for months is that we were going to get jammed with a clean debt ceiling. And I look at a debt ceiling vote, even though it's an ugly vote, is an opportunity to get real reform so that we change the fiscal trajectory of the federal government. And so I've been trying to tell leadership for months and months and months, hey, we're working on a plan in the Republican Study Committee. Give us a shot at this, and they're going to do it. And so we've come up with something called Budget Work and Grow, which is I'm going to roll out to the entire GOP conference in the House this morning, and I'm hopeful that we get a fair hearing on it.
Republican Work and Grow, right?
No, it's Budget, Work, and Grow. It's called Terms of Credit Budget, Work, and Grow.
Okay, we'll look
so
forward
for
to
instance, it. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and give us a little peek of it.
Yeah, just as a highlight, we passed a transformational budget each year for the last 5 years. This year, the House and Senate agreed on a budget for the first time in 10 years. And in that, we go through and we come up with ideas for economic growth through tax reform and through regulatory reform. And then on the spending side, we go to the drivers of our debt, Medicare, Medicaid, lots of the other entitlement programs. But right now, it's just an aspirational document sitting on a shelf. And so what Budget Work and Grow does, under the budget provision, we actually start putting that into language that begins to change things. And if we put it all into effect, it would save $3.8 trillion over the next 10 years. The second thing is that you got to have teeth to force Congress to do those things. To actually take the budget and put it in authorizing language so we have teeth in it to force Congress to do its work. And then the last thing is a grow provision, and that is to basically freeze all regulations where they are today until July 1st of 2017, and to push every date and every existing regulation that hasn't gone into effect to push it out at least 21 months. And that way our small and large businesses around the country can breathe a sigh of relief and begin to invest in people and their businesses.
And finally, your energy, commerce, and your energy and commerce committee that you sit on are going to put together a panel having to do with Planned Parenthood. Has that been named yet? Or are you on that?
It has not been named yet. I have put in a request to be named on. I've done a fair amount of lobbying on this. As the leader of the largest conservative caucus in Congress, I feel like I could add some unique value to this. We'll see what happens, but that will be named today. There will be 8 Republicans, 6 Democrats.
Okay, going to be a busy day.